I am not playing this for myself. I feel very energized today after not sleeping at all the night before. And last night I slept and I was in comatose-like sleep, so I feel great. Here is the dealio. You're listening to The Morning Press. JR's gone. Brad's in. Kevin's here. And we have our Senator Bob Corker on the line with us. And Senator, good morning to you.
Jeff, how are you, sir?
I am okay, considering what a rough summer I've had. We'll talk about that another time.
Good. I'd love to do that, and I'm unaware of that, so I'll catch up with you.
Yeah, broken bones and almost death. But it's no big deal. Nothing compared to what you've been through, speaking of rough, up there in D.C. inside the Beltway, where, I mean, I guess it quit being a gentleman's game a while back. We want to talk about tax reform, and we're going to stay positive.
Yeah.
We got
to
the bottom of the hour. Everybody's here. And yesterday, you basically moved tax reform to the floor of the Senate.
You were a key vote, obviously, Senator, in getting that bill through the Budget Committee so it can be considered by the full Senate. So if you would, take a little bit of time here and explain some of the key considerations and what convinced you that it was a good enough tax reform plan to push forward to the full Senate.
Yeah, so the budget vote is a procedural vote yesterday. The actual tax writing, if you will, takes place in Finance Committee, which completed its work right before the Thanksgiving holiday. So it's a procedural vote. However, it's a 12-11 stack, and so any Republican senator who votes against it in budget doesn't move it along. Now, I don't want to get into that. It still could happen without that vote occurring, but it was a strong signal. And the reason we were able to get to that place was we negotiated. The meeting took place at 2:30. Okay, at 2:24, I reached an agreement in principle with McConnell, the Finance Committee, and everybody that matters that in the event the projections that have been laid out in this bill don't happen, then we will have a trigger that kicks taxes up to make sure that we're alleviating deficit issues. So all of this is art, meaning that none of these projections are it's not science, it's art. But the fact is that I think we did something yesterday to greatly, from my perspective, improve the bill because I care so much about the deficits we have in our country. And, you know, look, if the projections end up being right, I hope they are. I hope they're twice what they are, okay, what they've been projected to be. But if they're not, then I want to make sure that we have something that will, again, change the trajectory and change the revenue stream that will be coming into our country.
In the construction business, I'm sure you heard the old expression, when you're at the bottom of a hole, quit digging. And that's obviously what you're wanting them not to do, is to continue to dig if we don't have help on the way, which would be new revenues.
That's correct.
Now, I've always served you well, Bob, being that guy that you had to dumb it down for. So if you can dumb it down for me, then obviously anybody out there, just any old Joe Sixpack in America could understand it.
Yeah.
A lot of debate as to whether this is going to help middle-income people, upper-middle-income people, rich people, super-rich people, and none of us are smart enough to figure it out, and you are. Talk to me.
So they've tried to be very meticulous to make sure that the cuts, if you will, affected every income category to the same level, okay? And look, you know, there's still distribution models that are being worked out. There's additional changes that are taking place. If this bill leaves the Senate floor, it then becomes a conferenceable issue with the House, and there'll be continual machinations taking place. And one of the issues out there right now, Jeff, is this whole issue of state and local deductions. And that's one of the, you know, in the state of Tennessee, our taxes are low, and so, it's not something that really adversely affects us. It does adversely affect people.
In California, it would.
Yeah. People. Yes. It adversely affects people in New York and California and New Jersey, and that is part of this issue. But look, I do think the tax writers did everything they can to try to get the distribution model so that it was equivalent up and down the income stream. They're still working through those things. If you want, look, I said it yesterday on CNBC, I wish we hadn't even dealt with the individual side. I don't like it. I wish we had only dealt with the corporate side. It's a privilege to do what I do. But at the end of the day, you know, even though we made a deal yesterday, you never leave these things like feeling, oh boy, this is just the best thing ever. It's not satisfying in that way. You try to make things better than they are. So as I look at this, having the individual side linked with the business side, and the things that I hope and I believe this will do for our country as it relates to growth, and what it will do to keep our companies from locating to other countries because of the international tax system, which we are very non-competitive in.
Which you've just landed on
overall,
one of the.
Based on if they follow through on our agreement in principle, okay, if it's written and they don't, you know, double deal me in any way, I don't think they will, okay, if we end up getting done what was negotiated yesterday, I think this will be better than the status quo. But it's been a tough call all the way through.
You actually landed on one of the 3.5 things I've found to be in agreement with the president on, and that is to try to keep companies from going overseas. Very quickly, you said it was like art, like surrealistic art on an etch-a-sketch. It can change. On the record, you are the Trump should not be worried about your vote. He was, but shouldn't be, because as long as it stays the way it is now, you're good.
Yeah, and I want to see this deal, and one of the things that I want to see where the income is going to be generated from. I want to make sure the trigger is appropriate. So there's a lot of details to be worked out. They needed my vote yesterday in budget, and it's kind of like musical chairs. Todd and I were talking about this yesterday. They've got to have 50 votes, okay? And, you know, if they get the 50 votes, then the things that you're attempting to do are no longer important. They're no longer important. What I was attempting to do, I've not asked for any specific tax provisions. I haven't, you know, tried to do the home cooking. I've done none of that. I've just tried to protect our nation to make sure our young people are going to be in a better place than they are today. And so my whole effort here has not been about individual tax issues. It's been about making sure that if these projections are not met, we change the trajectory. And so I was able to do that yesterday again at 2:24. After 2:30, you know, I lose my leverage, or I potentially use my
leverage. Nothing like sliding it under the wire, isn't it?
We worked with him throughout the weekend. I talked with him yesterday in front of the entire Republican Senate. We had a conversation about this very thing. He had told his people throughout the weekend to solve it. It ended up being solved more on the Senate side, not really through the White House, but all day yesterday, Mnuchin, Cohn, throughout the weekend, we finally came to a place. And again, if it's executed properly, then yes, and nothing else changes. We don't spend more money. We don't, make the bill worse than it is. Then I would plan to support
Senator,
it.
We got about 3 minutes. I know Kevin wants to.
Yeah, help us with the procedure here, Senator, okay? Because it came through the Budget Committee yesterday and now goes to the full Senate. Most of us don't do our own taxes, so we're arguing about stuff we don't really know about. Our CPAs know about it, but we really don't. Okay, we do know that the Senate and House versions are different. So now that it comes to the full Senate, is this where the Senate's going to make changes to try and get it closer to the House version before it goes to some kind of a conference committee to work out the changes? What happens now at the full Senate?
So that's up in the air. It's possible that the bill will go to the floor. It'll be amended by McConnell. In other words, he'll put an entirely. It will start out with a bill, but it's not the real bill. he will then substitute the things that I've just talked about and other things that are being worked out right now. That'll be the base bill. And on the Senate floor, anybody who has an amendment that can get 51 votes will have that incorporated. There'll be very few of those, let's be honest. I mean, that doesn't happen much, okay? There'll be very, very few of those. And there's some discussions right now about whether what Mitch puts down is something that's actually pre-conferenced with the House, meaning that the House, we're going to incorporate measures that more fully calls it to align with the House, and it's possible. I'm going to give you a 25% probability here. It's possible that what actually happens is the House just takes up our bill and passes it. If that's not the case, then what happens is you have the negotiators on the two committees, the Ways and Means Committee over in the House and the Finance Committee in the Senate. They sit down and work out their differences, and then the bill has to pass through both bodies again.
You give it a 25% chance? You have always been an optimist.
No. I'm talking about a 25% chance that the bill that comes out
of the Senate
is actually
just be picked
taken up by the House.
Gotcha.
75% chance that we end up just in a full conference like I just described.
I understand. We were going to take calls. We actually thought that the interview was 10 minutes longer than it was. I'm going to take just 1 second here, and I know. You got time?
Hard stop here.
Well, we got.
I don't have a hard stop. I can talk to you guys.
All right. Well, I have
not been able to do this yesterday in the middle
of
all this.
I was going to say, but I know today is politically sensitive and very, 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 very kind of walking eggshellish. So yeah. I'm not going to try to take you down any sort of rabbit holes or anything. But I want to tell you something. I would never, ever consider myself, of course, a peer of yours, but I do think we probably have some sort of odd friendship. I've never been so proud of you as I was when you basically stood up and called what I consider to be a spade a spade. I know you suffered for it, but thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
The adult in the room, sir.
It's been an interesting 60 days. One of the things, Jeff, I think, so there were people saying, well, you know, because you've had this court of disagreement, if you will, I don't know what you would call what's occurred over the last 60 days, is that going to affect how you vote on things? And are you kidding me? I mean, anybody that runs for the Senate their vote is going to be dependent upon how they feel about somebody, like them or dislike them. I mean, that's ridiculous. So what people I don't think realize is that throughout this entire process of what you're just now alluding to, I've been on the phone nonstop with Tillerson, with Kelly, who's the chief of staff,
other adults,
Ivanka, she's texting me from India right now, I mentioned Tillerson, but with Mnuchin, with Cohn, with people throughout the administration working to make good things happen for our country and for our state. And so, sure, I was very frank about my feelings, and there's been several iterations of that, but it's only out of concern about our nation and just the way things have been being dealt with.